EcoScoops word met trots vervaardig deur NewsCoop. Hallo, ek is Isabel Potgieter en jy is ingeskakel by EcoScoops, die ruimte waar ons ondersoek instel oor hoe gesonder landskappe tot gesonder lewens lei. In vandag se program gesels ons met Dr. Gabriella Alberola. Dr. Alberola is 'n postdoktorale navorser in die departement politieke wetenskap aan die Universiteit van Amsterdam. Sy benut haar interdissiplinêre agtergrond in biologie, omgewingsbeleid en politieke wetenskap, gekombineer met haar wortels in aktivisme, om dringende omgewingsuitdagings aan te spreek. Vandag vertel sy ons meer oor haar navorsing oor klimaatsfinansiering en aanpassing en hoe dit gemeenskappe op 'n grondvlak beïnvloed. Maar soos ouer gewoonte, kyk ons eers na omgewingsnuus hooftrekke. Suid-Afrika het 'n belangrike omgewingsmylpaal bereik met Eskom wat 365 agtereenvolgende dae sonder beerdkrag vier, wat 'n meer stabiele platform skep om hernubare energie in die nasionale netwerk te integreer. Die netsmaatskappy sê verbeterde aanlegprestasie en verminderde onbeplande onderbrekings het 'n skoner, meer doeltreffende stelsel moontlik gemaak wat reeds dieselverbruik en gepaardgaande uitlatings verminder het, wat byna 27 miljard rand in brandstofkoste oor die afgelope 3 jaar bespaar het. Eskom se leierskap voer aan dat hierdie tydperk van ononderbroke voorsiening die grondslag lê vir 'n langtermynverskywing weg van 'n hoofsaaklik steenkool-gebaseerde vloot na 'n meer gebalanseerde mengsel wat grootskaalse son-, wind- en batterybergingsprojekte insluit. Die konflik in die Midde-Ooste lei daartoe dat internasionale skeepsroetes nou al hoe meer langs die Suid-Afrikaanse kus herlei word, dwars deur gebiede waar walvisse normaalweg migreer en broei. Navorsers waarsku dat die toename in groot skepe die risiko van botsing met walvisse dramaties kan verhoog en ook onderwater geraas laat toeneem wat die diere se kommunikasie ontwrig. Volgens berigte word veral die suidelike reguit walvis en bultrug walvis in hierdie streek geraak, omdat al bekende migrasieroutes met die nuwe skeepsbane oorvleuel. Omgewingsgroepe pleit nou vir laer snelhede, streng monitorstelsels en die moontlike verskuiwing van roetes tydens piekmigrasie om die walvisbevolkings langs die Suid-Afrikaanse kus te beskerm. Vandag gesels ons met Dr. Gabriella Alberola, 'n postdoktorale navorser in die departement van politieke wetenskap aan die Universiteit van Amsterdam. Wat is die gapings in hoe klimaatsfinansiering werklik gemeenskappe bereik?
Yes, thank you for that question. So one of the big issues is that it's very difficult to evaluate effectiveness. To know, I focus primarily on adaptation, right? And adaptation are the measures that are taken to reduce the risk for communities that are experiencing or will experience the impacts of climate change. And one of the big gaps that we have in adaptation, but also in mitigation, which is focused on reducing emissions, is that it's hard to evaluate effectiveness. And it's harder for adaptation because if your project is effective, it means that a disaster that was going to happen won't happen, or that it will reduce casualties or it will reduce damages. And because we don't have that alternative world or alternative scenario to see how effective are the invested dollars, it's very hard to basically evaluate programs and projects.
Wanneer klimaatsaanpassing en versagting slaag, voorkom hulle rampe, dus kan al doeltreffendheid moeilik wees om te meet. Wat beteken dit vir die befondsing wat aan klimaatsprojekte toegeken word?
Unfortunately, opens the door for misuse and misallocation and for maladaptation, for projects that should be improving people's lives or reducing risk, but that don't have the impact expected in reducing risk and that don't have long-lasting impacts. And also as a scientist, of course, I'm biased, but I think we need more research and more information to really understand how, you know, per dollar, what impact it's having on increasing resilience and quality of life for people.
Wat moet verander in die manier waarop klimaatsfinansiering ontwerp en toegeken word om vroue en gemarginaliseerde gemeenskappe te bemagtig?
That is a really good question because groups are not homogenous. Even when we talk about gender and we talk about women, which women, right? Like, are we talking about women with access, women with education, women in rural areas or in the cities? Again, I'm going to go back to the issue of lack of data, really understanding the needs, the realities on the ground of the different groups makes a big difference for incorporating those needs. It's, as you mentioned, sometimes it's just a box checking exercise where, unfortunately, a program or a project can say, yes, we consulted the community. Yes, we had, 50% women. But really getting at the issue of what is needed by the different communities, by people with intersecting identities. Not only are you a woman, but you're also very young or very old or, without education or with high education. Understanding the needs of these different identities and how they intersect is very important. So I go back to the issue of collecting better data, disaggregated data, right? Understanding where the vulnerabilities and the needs are. And consultation with these groups from the beginning.
En dit was Dr. Gabriella Alberola. Dankie dat jy vandag by ons ingeskakel het. En dit was nog 'n uitsending van EcoScoops, trots vervaardig deur NewsCube.